Turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 21. 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, we'll read verses 18 through verse 23. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out of the threshing floor, and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I have given thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood and wheat. For the meat offering I give it all. By way of background leading up to what we just read, in verse 1 we read that Satan stood up against Israel, the whole nation. But in his standing up against Israel, he provoked one. It's a very valuable lesson there. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David, provoked him to do something, to number or to count Israel. This, of course, is not the first time that we read of the numbering of the people as a sin. Satan is the one that provoked this. It was a sin, and we'll see that in a minute. It's very significant for you and I to understand. We have to realize that though numbers are a big deal with man, not so with God. It did not matter to God if Israel had one, or a thousand, or a million. Didn't matter. The battle was the Lord's. He was the one fighting the battle. The numbers meant nothing to God. And the people did not need to get caught up with how many they had. What they needed to get caught up with, same with you and I, is God. We don't need to get caught up with what we have or what we don't have. We need to get caught up with God. So, David, despite Joab's counsel, there in verse 2 and 3, Joab counseled David not to number Israel. But David, despite Joab's counsel, gives in to Satan. The numbering takes place in verses 4 through 6. And a lot of people think, well, that's no big deal. But it is a big deal. And verse 7, and God was displeased with this thing. With what? With David counting his men before he went into battle. What he's doing, he's depending upon flesh rather than God. And God is always displeased with this thing. How displeased was God? Well, it says that he smote Israel. In verse 8, David realizes his sin, the sin of numbering the people, trusting in man rather than God. In verses 9 and 10, God speaks to the prophet Gad and instructs him to go to David and offer him three choices of punishment. David, you and Israel are going to be punished because you counted the people. Because you depended upon flesh rather than me. But I'm going to give you three choices of punishment. Notice verse 12. 3 years of famine. That's pretty serious for simply numbering the people. Don't think it's not a big deal when you and I depend on flesh rather than God. He says you can have 3 years of famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes. That's choice number two. While the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days, the sword of the Lord, the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I will bring again to him that sent me. Then notice David's answer in verse 13. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. I mean, these aren't good choices. Let me fall now unto the hand of the Lord, which would be choice number three, the choice of the Lord. For very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. He made his choice based upon what he knew about God. He knew that God was a God of mercy. And therefore he said, I will take the sword of the Lord. It's not my subject today, but I'm thankful that we serve a God of mercy. I'm glad that his mercy shows up in my life all the time. I'm glad that God's mercy stands between me and his wrath. I'm not here because of who I am or what I do, and so it is with you. We are here because God's been merciful to us. But notice in verse 14, we are told of God's judgment. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. What horrible sin was committed that God slew 70,000 people? The trusting in flesh rather than God. Counting what they had rather than depending upon God. 70,000 people died. Don't ever think, well, it's just natural for me to trust in flesh. Don't ever think that that's a minor thing. It's very serious. 70,000 people God killed. Because David stood up and numbered the people. In verse 15, as the angel was destroying, mercy stepped in. Remember, the reason David chose this was because God's a God of mercy. And he said to the angel that destroyed it, it is enough. Stay thy hand. That's mercy. That's mercy. There was a reprieve. Notice at the end of verse 15 where this angel that was the destroying angel, where he ended up, and the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. In verse 16 and 17, with 70,000 men dead, David and his men are upon their faces. And David cried out to God. And David was having a very difficult time understanding. I'm the one that have sinned. I'm the one that numbered Israel. And God has killed 70,000 people. Don't ever think that your sin does not affect others. In fact, you may, from human appearances, seem to come out unscathed. 70,000 other people may not. This is serious. That's not our message. Coming to our text, God again instructed the prophet Gad to go to David, and this time he was to instruct him that David was to go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. That's where this angel is now also. In verse 15, or verse 19, David obeys the instruction, and he comes to the threshing floor of Ornan, and he makes a request. Verse 22, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. And thou shalt grant it me for the full price." Notice that the plague, there's been a reprieve. 70,000 have been killed, and God stepped in and said, okay, that's enough. There's been a reprieve. That the plague may be stayed from the people. So he makes his request. We want to take note in this message of the attitude and the act of this one named Ornan. The subject of the message is learn from the attitude and act of Ornan. We want to center our thoughts upon what Ornan said to David in verse 23, particularly two phrases. "Take it to thee, and I give it all." These are wonderful. There are many wonderful and heart-searching lessons in the attitude and act of Ornan. You see, the truth is, you and I, the saved, we need to get to verse 23. We need to live in verse 23. We want to consider 6 points leading up to those two statements in verse 23. And then we want to consider the attitude and the act of those two statements. But first of all, consider 6 things that leads us to verse 23. You don't just roll out of the bed in the morning and live in verse 23. There are some things that have to take place. You can sing all day long, "I surrender all." But I'm here to tell you, you won't surrender until these things take place. They have to take place. Number one, Ornan experienced the special presence of David. Notice verse 21. "And as David came to Ornan," the king has come to the house of Ornan. It was not the prophet Gad that had come to Ornan, but the king has come. Royalty has come to the place of Ornan. The king has shown up this day in the life of Ornan. Again, we read, "David came to Ornan." The king has come. This would provide Ornan with an opportunity. And any time the king steps into our lives, shows up in our lives, you and I have opportunity. Again, those are wonderful words. David came to Ornan. This would make a difference in the life of Ornan. This would eventually lead to verse 23. The spiritual application for you and I, of course, is far greater than David came to Ornan. The application for you and I is what we read in Luke 19 and verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place. And what we read in John 20 and verse 28, then came Jesus. And oh, what a time when Jesus shows up in our lives. Be sure of this. When Jesus comes to us, He does so as God. When He comes to us, He does so as the Creator and the Sustainer of all things, as the Almighty, as the bread and water of life. When Jesus shows up in our life, He does so as the one who knows everything about us. He knows everything we need, and He shows up with everything we need, and He shows up caring and having our best interest in heart. Back to our text in verse 21, Ornan looked and saw David. It's much more than David came to Ornan. It's much more than that. Because God, believe it or not, the Lord shows up in our lives every single day. He's there all the time. But Ornan looked and saw David. He looked and he saw the king. He's about to experience the presence of the king. He's aware of the king's presence. As he looked and saw David, he knew that it was him. He saw David. He saw the king. Ornan is now personally experiencing the king's presence. And you and I will never, ever get to verse 23 without seeing the king. And without knowing that it's Him. Oh, how we need to see Jesus. Yes, we need His presence. We need to see Him. We can't be oblivious to His presence. He looked and He saw David. He knew the king had come. And we need to see the Lord as the Lord of glory. We need to see Him as holy God. We need to see Him as immutable and the immortal one. We need to see Him as the great I Am. We need to see Him as living, conquering, and reigning as King, as the one who is above all, as the one who is over all, as the one who is beyond all. We need to see Him as the one who left the portals of glory. I mean, this day the king had left his palace and had come to the house or the threshing floor of Ornan. This was special. We need to see Him as the one who came to this sin-cursed earth to live a perfect life of righteousness for us and took our sins upon Himself and went to the cross bearing our sins, bearing what we deserve. We need to see Him. We need to see Him as our Savior. We need to see Him as our Deliverer. We need to see Him as our Emancipator. We need to see Him as our Redeemer. We need to see Him as the way to God. We need to see Him as our acceptance before God, as our refuge, as our hiding place, as the bread and the water of life, as our Shepherd, as our friend, and as the one who is worthy of everything. We need to see Him. And Ornan looked and saw David. And we'll never get to verse 23 without experiencing, without knowing this presence of the king. Secondly, after he saw David, he drew near. Notice again verse 21. Ornan looked and saw David. And then notice what it says. And went out doesn't say and continued threshing wheat. That's not what it says. And went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David. The king had come. And Ornan was not oblivious to the presence of the king. He did not merely acknowledge David, wave to him, and then continue on his daily task. He did not send a message to David. He did not send one of his sons out saying, "David, I'm glad you came today, but this really isn't a convenient time for me. I'm busy." It's not what he did. He certainly did not ignore David's presence. We do. The Lord's present. Many times we simply ignore him. Sometimes we may acknowledge him. We need to go further than that. He didn't try to hide from David. Many, like Adam and Eve, spend their lives trying to hide from the presence of God. One day, Ornan looked down his driveway, if they had driveways that day, and he said, "That's my king. The king has come to my house. That's my king. The king has come." And what did he do? He left what he was doing and went out to David. The spiritual application, of course, for you and I. And we'll never get to verse 23 if we're not willing to drop what we're doing and draw near to Christ. You'll never get to the surrender of verse 23 without drawing near to Christ. A lot of people say, I'm going to surrender. And I believe they mean well, but they try to bypass all these things. It doesn't work. Never has, never will. Question is today, can you see him? Jesus is here, and such brings a great possibility for you and I. Such brings a great opportunity for you and I. Jesus is here. The king has come. The question is, what are we going to do? And Ornan looked and saw David. And what he saw, the king in his driveway, compelled him to leave what he was doing and go out. He drew near to David. Seeing him, he drew near. Seeing him, he felt a pull. And if we would see him today, you can't help but feel a pull toward him. If you do not feel a pull toward him, it's because you don't see him. You don't really see him. You may simply acknowledge, but you don't really see who he is. Thirdly, Ornan reverenced David. He sees the king approaching his house. He goes out to meet him. And then we read in verse 21, and he bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. First, he looked and saw David. He knew who it was. Seeing the king, a spirit of humility flooded his soul. And he bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Ornan has seen the king. Ornan has recognized the king. Ornan has left where he was and has gone out to him, drawn near to him. And without even thinking, he simply feels compelled to fall down before him in reverence. So now we have Ornan. He's at the feet of the king. The place of submission. The place of submission to his authority. People talk about surrendering, but they never get to the place of submission. How can you surrender if you don't even get to the place of submission, if you don't take the place? You can't. Jesus is here. And if you and I truly recognize and see him, we will be drawn to him. And humility will flood our soul. And we will fall down before him. Make no mistake about it. In this day of intellectualism and haughtiness and pride and selfishness, and in our day of shallow and deficient spirituality, you and I will never get to verse 23 without humbly submitting ourselves to the authority of the king. Will not happen. Fourthly, keep in mind where Ornan is. He's at the feet of the king. And fourthly, Ornan heard the king. It says, verse 22, grant me the place of this threshing floor. The king speaks directly to Ornan. David had Ornan's attention. God doesn't have the attention of all his people. He ought to. God's in our lives every day. But he doesn't always have our attention. And you know why? Because you got to get to a special place. Place of humility, submission. It was while he was at the feet of David that David spoke to Ornan. Now notice the first two words that David said to Ornan was, grant me. Grant me. That is, agree to give me thy threshing floor. God comes to us every day and he says, agree with me. Agree to give me. That's our biggest problem today. We're in disagreement with God. Grant me the place of this threshing floor. Ornan did not say, David, what are you talking about? I mean, it's pretty plain. David, do you mean this threshing floor or do you mean another threshing floor? I mean, it's pretty plain. But that's what we do. God speaks plainly. And we have the audacity to say, well, Lord, what do you mean? Explain it to me. Ornan didn't do any of those things. Because Ornan heard David clearly. And we do too. We just don't want to hear him clearly. And we don't want to do what he's saying, so we say, well, what do you mean? Ornan heard David clearly and understood exactly what he was saying. And the God of heaven speaks to you and I today and he says, agree to give me. Agree to give me. He doesn't want us giving things and not agreeing to it. Agree to give me. The God of heaven speaks. Not the man upstairs, but God speaks. And he speaks plainly. And he speaks directly. And many go merrily on their way, not hearing a word he's saying. Oblivious. Does he have your attention? Because you'll never get to verse 23 without hearing what the Lord has to say. Fifthly, Ornan felt a pressing urgency to do what David said. When Ornan spoke, or when David spoke to Ornan, there was a plague that had killed 70,000 men. And with this plague in the background, David, the king, calls upon Ornan to enter into agreement with him. And notice verse 22. That is, grant me this threshing floor. And then later he would say, grant it to me and I'll give you full price. That the plague agree to do this, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan, no doubt, with that last statement, that the plague may be stayed from the people. Well, Ornan knew what was going on. That's where the angel has ended up now. He's at the threshing floor. You read that earlier. And no doubt, Ornan heard a pressing urgency to obey this call of David. And I want to say the reason that many plagues continue to spread is because God's people refuse to agree with God. And that the plague may be stayed. Agree to give me that the plague may be stayed. You and I will never get to verse 23 without feeling a pressing urgency to be in agreement with God. Sixthly, Ornan trusted God. He trusted. This is also seen from his response in verse 23. And Ornan said unto David, take it unto thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. It's not our job to instruct God how to rule our lives. It's not our job to advise God how to run our lives. Our job is to trust Him. And Ornan said, take it, and you do with it whatever you want. You and I will never get to verse 23 without trusting the Lord. Why don't we surrender all? Because we have a lack of trust. Gets down to a lack of trust. But when did he trust? It's when he saw who the king was. You see who the king is, you won't have any trouble trusting him. The only time you and I have trouble trusting God is when we're ignorant of who he is. If you know who he is, how can you not trust him? And then lastly, everything has led up to this point. Ornan willingly relinquished all to David. This is where we need to get. We've seen already how we get there. Everything we've said up to this point has been leading to, and Ornan said unto David. And then Ornan said, take it unto thee. That was before David offered to buy it. All he said is, grant to me the place of this threshing floor. And Ornan said, take it. Take it. It's his way of living. It's his way to make a living. And Ornan said, take it. And then he ends up saying, I give it all. This is surrender. Many people talk about surrender. They give platitudes to such, but you'll never get here. Take it unto thee. I give it all, by bypassing what we've already said. Hear Ornan speak. Take it. The king says, grant it to me. And our response ought to be, take it. Take it. I give it all. This is the result and the outcome of what we have been, what we have said up to this point. Now, read verse 22. Verse 22, you have the request. Grant me the place of this threshing floor. Grant it me. Later on in the verse. And notice after David said, grant me the place of the threshing floor, he followed that with an offer to pay the full price. And then in verse 23, we read the response of Ornan. Take it unto thee. But then notice the next words. My Lord, the King. You will not say, take it, until you realize he's the Lord, he's the King. David made his request of Ornan, and the attitude of Ornan was this. This is my King. This isn't the prophet Gad asking for this. This is the King. Take it and do whatever you want with it. It's all yours. And then he said, not only the threshing floor, but here's the oxen, the wood, and the wheat. I give it all. This is my King. How can I hold anything back? You want the threshing floor? Take the oxen too. Take the tools. Take the wheat. I give it all. This is my King. And God's people say, oh, I long for that. You will not get there until you do the six things leading up to it. You sing about it all you want to. That won't get you there. What he's saying is, this is my King. I'm not going to keep anything to myself. I'm not worried about what I can save for my own personal interest. This is my King. I give it all. I let go of everything. I sacrifice everything to my King. Ornan was not concerned with keeping a part. He was not concerned with keeping a portion. He was not concerned with keeping a percentage to himself. But with complete, unreserved trust in his King, he says, take it. I give it all. And be sure of this. There is a God in heaven who rules and reigns over all. And he says to you, and he says to I, put yourself on the altar. The Lord calls for absolute surrender of everything. God himself calls us that are saved. He says, hand it over. Grant to me. Hand over everything. Let it go. Relinquish possession and claim of everything. And here's where you start. With yourself. Give yourself. There is a call for complete and entire resignation of our lives. It's not a call to pick and to choose what we will relinquish. People do that all the time. And then they get pharisaical, and if someone else doesn't give up the exact thing they did, they're not as righteous as them. Well, my Bible says you're to give it all. People get upset when you talk about tithe, and I've told them, I'm not even talking about your money. We haven't got that far yet. I'm talking about God's money. That's what the tithe is. I've chased the rabbit. But the call is, give yourself with all. that you have. It's a far-reaching call. It's an extensive call that requires my very life and my very soul. It is a call that is inclusive of every detail and circumstance of my life. It is not a call to merely sacrifice, but it is a call to be a sacrifice to God in our lives. It is a call that involves the whole of our life. How do we get there? We've already seen that. The world, of course, attempts to squeeze us into its mold. And the world has done a very good job squeezing God's people into its mold. But oh, that we would hear God say, "My son, my daughter, agree with me to give yourselves away to me. Agree to that." Oh, that we would feel the urgency of that call. Again, when David spoke to Ornan, there was a plague that had killed 70,000 people. And David calls upon Ornan to do something that the plague may be stayed from the people. Grant me, and there's much at stake. And God says to you and I today, grant me yourself. That. And you can fill in the rest. That the plague may be stayed. May I say today there is a plague far, far worse than this plague that killed 70,000 men. There is a plague far more devastating than the plague that killed these 70,000 men. It is a plague that has swept through the lives of God's people. It is a plague that has captured and threatens to capture your children and your grandchildren. It is a plague that has swept through the homes and the families of God's people. It is a plague that has swept through the churches of the Lord. And people ask all the time, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to stop this? What can we do? We've got to come up with a plan. The answer is this. Get to verse 23. That's the answer. Take it, Lord. I give it all. When a plague is sweeping through our lives, here's the answer. Get on your knees and surrender all to God. What are we going to do? We're losing a generation. I would advise for moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas to get on their knees and surrender themselves to God. But we want to do everything but that, and the plague continues on. And it will. It is a waste of time to sit down and discuss what is happening with a generation. Why have we lost them? Look at yourself. Look in the mirror. God is saying, we are in the midst of a plague. Agree to give me. La 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 la. And we just go on. And then have the nerve to say, why is this happening? Verse 23 is the answer. Well, I'm going to start doing that then. Not till you do the other things we've mentioned. It won't work. This isn't easy. This is something we have to do every day. We all do it. But it's very, very concerning when people say, oh, pray for me. Pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. Pray for my grandson, my granddaughter. Pray for them. I'm so burdened. They're so burdened that they don't listen to God. Who are you trying to kid? Do away with all the platitudes. Oh, I'm so burdened. Are you burdened enough to get on your knees and surrender everything to God? Ornan gave up his threshing floor, his way of making a living. Gave it up. Surrendered it all to God. There's the answer. Anything else is just a game. It's just a game. And people continue to be destroyed. But I believe that if we would learn to surrender, you'd be surprised how many plagues would stop. Well, I agree. The person sitting next to me and the person sitting behind me or in front of me, they need to surrender. No, we need to surrender. I need to surrender. You need to surrender. And we'd be surprised how many plagues would stop. When Ornan heard that the plague may be stayed from the people, he realized much is at stake, and he felt an urgency. The call goes forth from God. Grant me. We need to personally hear that. Grant me. And all that we realize what's at stake. What's at stake? And that we would feel the urgency of such a call. This is the King. This is our Savior who says, grant to me. He says, grant me the place. That's a good place to begin. Agree to give God first place. Until you do that, you are not right with God. You don't know my heart. You can't say that. I just said it. If God is not first, you are not right with God. He must be number one. He must be first. He's not second. He's not third. He's not fourth. You don't know my situation. Doesn't matter. He must be first. And we will not submit. And we will not yield until he's first. God says, grant me. And our ready response ought to be, take it, Lord. Take it. Lord, is this all you want? Take the oxen also. You just want the threshing floor, Lord? Take the wheat too. Take the instruments too. Take it all. I give it all. That was the attitude of Ornan. So many today. I can't smoke. I can't drink. I can't go to the movies. I can't do this. I can't do that. One more rule. Your attitude stinks. You have a bad attitude toward God. It ought to be, I can give this up for God. And it's not just giving up things, it's giving ourselves, because you can give up everything, but unless you give yourself, it doesn't amount to anything. He wants our thoughts. He wants our minds, our dreams, our plans, our goals, our ambitions, everything about us. And our response ought to be, take it, Lord. And Lord, if there's anything else, take that too. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to live. And all of us, I suppose, have been there at one time or another. Verse 23. and it doesn't last. How do we make it last? Without re-preaching it, the six things we listed to get us there. You keep doing those things. If you do those things, you can't help but say, Lord, take it. Lord, take it. You know what the problem is today? God says to each one of us, grant to me, and we hang on. We refuse to let go. And then we wonder, Lord, why am I so miserable? And God says it again to us, grant me. Just agree to give me. Agree to give me yourself. And oh, how much more joyful life would be if we would only learn to submit. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.